Jaspreet Bopadai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Welcome back. You're with Greenwashed this morning. And if you listen to our guest just before the break, it never stands to amaze me, Don, that regardless of whether you're speaking to someone from Denmark or Canada or India or New Zealand, it's the same end goals. The means are different.
The means are different. But you know, the concern about the property right of the individual seems to be less of a concern to the regulators or the people that are trying to influence the way society develops. Look, I've just got this view: if you want something badly, you pay enough for it, and you should have to go through the right channels. The stuff that Alfred's group are facing is happening all over the world. But then when you analyze it, a lot of the encroachment into good and rural land is happening just by natural means, really. You can't stop that push outward. And if you try to stop it, they'll just go somewhere else. So why should you take that opportunity away is my issue. And secondly, to interrupt there, the last thing I'd say is in these modern this era, we seem to have a lot of desire to put battery farms and solar farms and wind turbines everywhere. But that doesn't seem to be such a concern as awfully, you know, as food production land being taken out of circulation. It did seem weird. It did seem weird the way that whole Waterloo Council was playing its cards. Seemed really weird. And of course, there was private enterprise in the background doing the bidding.
That all this is, but I have a theory about this thing. You know, if you want to stop or at least reduce climate change, reduce emissions and stop the sort of encroachment of cities getting bigger and taking over the rural landscape, you know what you need to do? Stop immigration, Don. Stop immigration. You wouldn't need any more infrastructure. You wouldn't have any more planes, ships, all of that flying. You wouldn't need to build bigger roads. Look at us. How much has our number gone up? We were speaking to Alfred, 1.25 million people increased. We have had, 125,000 people stop immigration. You know, chuck people like me out. How's that for starting kicking off climate crazy today?
Yeah, but stimulating the economy would just, the economy would just stop. I mean, because that, when you analyze it, that stimulation.
But who needs
huge.
The economy, Don? We need the nature-based economy. You are still talking from a capitalist mindset, Don.
How dare you?
Yeah. Right. On that note, it's time to get into climate crazy for the week. And the first thing that caught my attention was this article over the weekend on the NPR. It was under, very aptly, religion. And the headline says, a new kind of chaplain is helping people deal with climate grief. And it is an article from the US. And what does it talk about? I mean, you get the sort of drift here. But the article goes on to say that this chaplain, Mrs. Weir, is one of the growing number of people who are now spiritual advisors. This is rising among the clergy who are now being trained in handling grief and other difficult emotions. In this particular instance, they gather at the Talent Public Library, where attending Sustaining Climate Activists, a group of retired adults led by an eco-chaplain. That's been going on. Eco-chaplaincy, says the article, is a 21st century invention. And while no one knows how many there are, there is a few, and this number is growing. And this article perfectly underlines my point, how climate change is a cult. It's become a religion. Todd?
Yeah, well, it has, and we've talked about it many times over. I'm surprised an eco chaplain needs to exist, but you know, if I was tithing money to a church, would I want that sort of stuff to be my money to be spent on this sort of stuff and the sort of virtue signaling that's going on there? I don't know. I doubt it. I hope they're not getting subsidy. I hope these churches aren't getting subsidy.
Well, and you know, then me being me, I must Google and see that whether we have something in New Zealand, an equivalent. I do know there are similar chapters. I'm a Sikh by religion, and there's a Sikhs for Climate Action that I see, and I see the virtue signaling going on there. So I found this. There's this website called ecochurch.org.nz, and hopefully you can listen to the soundbite there that came on mainstream media late last year.
It's part of being an eco-church. The congregation has joined climate protests, even calculated the church's carbon usage. And now they're taking their mission one step further.
We think to set ourselves a challenge of being carbon neutral would be a really exciting thing to work towards.
Freshly planted native trees are soaking up carbon dioxide. Ditching gas for electric heating is next. It's just one of many spreading the low carbon gospel.
Low carbon gospel. I couldn't agree with this phrase more. I'm going to use this, the carbon gospel.
Well, there's a lot of people preaching that gospel around the world. It doesn't matter where you look. There's a whole bunch of grifters doing the same thing. That, you know, that's where it is. That's where the cash is, Jaspreet.
Yeah, and our young people, I mean, let alone the old, I have no sympathy for you. If you can't think better, you can't read history, you can't think for yourselves, you're too far gone. I'm seeing a group of white-haired people, you're too far gone. But when this lot suck in the younger crowd and make them almost apologetic for their existing on the planet and thinking they can't do anything, they can't own a house, they must live in a tiny house, they can't have children, they can't eat meat. Basically, they can't do any of the normal things. I've got a bone to pick with you.
Well, you know, we're told that the COVID virus left a Wuhan lab. I think the biggest virus left the United Nations many years ago, and it's afflicted the world massively, and it's called climate change, and you're calling it the climate cult. I call it climate communism, a whole lot of stuff. It's afflicting the world, the Western world especially, eating ourselves up on this stuff. And I'm sorry if you're a religious person, and you know, we all have our beliefs and we keep them to ourselves mostly, but you know, eco chaplaincy, I'm sorry, it's lost for me. They're lost.
They are lost. From that to the NZ Herald this weekend that says, dangerous new coronavirus is one of more than 30 pathogens found in a new study on Chinese fur farms. So this seems to be never ending. They are now looking at minks, muskrats, foxes, raccoons, also species of guinea pig, deer. These are less intensely farmed but remain commonplace in a smaller backyard farms across China and haven't been really surveilled as they think they should be. And of these 125 new virus species that they detected, 39 were deemed to have a high spillover potential because they were generalists spotted in a diversity. And over this weekend, also hearing the fact that they have detected a case of monkeypox around your end of the world, Don?
Oh, just mpox. Yeah. Please don't call it monkeypox. It's just mpox. It's interesting, isn't it? Zoonotic diseases are not something we should tread lightly about. You know, we need to be wise. They are not something that's to be treated lightly. So, look. You know, how will they raise this to a new level, though, is what concerns me.
And
putting the fear of the future. Yeah, putting the fear of the future into people just wears you out.
Totally. So, look, what else do I have?
We've given that once over. It's once over lightly, but look, let's go on to something else.
Yeah, from the zoonotic soup to other stuff. Now, this, again, over the last week, these different articles all sort of in my head, they seem to tag team into each other. We saw one from the Warwick University where they're saying, you know, due to cost pressures, they won't be vegan only. It'll be meat will be available for students at the college. Simultaneously, there was this talk on The Guardian about how Europe's farming lobbies have recognized the need to eat less meat in a shared vision report. The wide-ranging report has called for urgent, ambitious, and feasible changes in farming and food systems and acknowledges that Europeans are eating more animal protein than scientists, experts, in quotes, recommend. And they want a major rethink on subsidies, calling for a just transition fund for farmers to adopt sustainable practices. And time again, but now their farming lobbies are calling for their own destruction. How crazy do we have to get for these guys to see what they are heading?
Well, isn't it a worry? Yeah, we had all the farmer protests leading up to the European Union Parliament elections in June. there has been 2 or 3 years of protests, but they've all died down. All of a sudden, they've just gone away. And it seems that they've been seduced back into the fold of the clutches of the European Union fathers and, you know, the prime movers. And it's all okay again. They must have been given some options around future funding and subsidy. I mean, it just seems that they've been bought off again. And it's very frustrating. If I was a taxpayer in the European Union, I would be fuming about this. You're keeping the farmers going because you've got an industrial base. You can keep sort of spilling money into the farms to keep them happy.
Yep.
I just resent that. But, you know, here we are in New Zealand as open traders, and we have to trade against that sort of nonsense.
Well, just Denmark alone, the European Commission has approved a Danish scheme with a budget of more than 53 million euros to support a more climate-friendly dairy production. That's what we are going to have to fight against.
Yes.
Is the playing field level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so why can't we just have we've got the highest standards in the world, subsidy-free, pasture-based farming should be the premium brand in the world. But we still want to tie ourselves up in knots here without the protection of the taxpayer. And I'm happy that we don't have the protection of the taxpayer here, because that nothing would be worse than being bought off each year by political whims. That would be horrible. But that's where we're heading, actually, by this regime that we've had coming at us for the last 7 to 10 years. More and more want to get inside the farm gate and start to play God over us. And it's not right. But,
and they now, Don, we now have the tools, the artificial intelligence, all of that to now actually be able to do that.
Yes.
I am looking at these couple of articles that came, one from Ignition Ventures, that's Ignition, but with the A, Ignition Ventures. And there is also this other recently launched website. I think it's been there for a while, but it's just come to the news now, called prism.earth. And both what these outfits are doing, they are both saying that their motto for existence in New Zealand is revealing insights for sustainable land use. What is that going to be? And Prism itself, it says it's a partnership between major industry players, Silver Fern Farm being one, combining best-in-class technology and scientific know-how to uncover opportunities that maximize carbon asset realization and optimize land use. They say they're here because everyone's demanding carbon traceability. No, everyone is not demanding carbon traceability, but your bank accounts are demanding carbon traceability. That's where you're getting the money here. And I can just see the farmers in New Zealand, they're just going to say, well, costs have risen so much. You're not really getting a fair price. We are having to compete with these, say, Danes who've got a 53 million euros in subsidy. Well, let's get what we can. Let's get these guys behind our farm gates, into our farms, mapping our properties and telling us how much money they can throw away for carbon sequestration. So the very essence of carbon not being a pollutant is never being questioned here.
Carbon dioxide not being a pollutant. I've always said we trade carbon and carbon dioxide every bit of product we make. So what these people seem to be doing is getting in behind the farm gate, as you say. And once they do that, and they've got the privilege of regulation, they can just milk it till the end of time. Like, I have no issue with these players in place if they don't use regulation to be their reason for being, you know. And so, you know, I have no problem with mapping a farm as my property right. But it's not. It's these people are making it a public property right. And, in fact, they're probably keeping the data, the prime data for themselves, and they're going to use it in a way that would be useful to some people, but it certainly is going to make you more, your options are going to be restricted in many cases. They will try to say, I would suggest, looking at some of the maps I've seen, oh, we're not allowed to farm that hillside. It's too steep. We shouldn't be farming it. How do you extricate that from your farming business, if you've paid for it, don't you want to farm it? Well, then there'll be nature credits. So let's renature that. There'll be a whole lot of people say, we can make you some money off that, but you need to let us inside the gate. Anyway, it's...
If people thought
stuff,
that
all the stuff...
If you thought, Don, that farm plans were bad enough, what is coming via these? And I'm again looking at the insights that's provided on prism.earth, which is, after all, a collaboration between Silverfern Farms, one of our big processors, big meat processors with this AI company. They've got farm-scale climate risk and vulnerability analysis under their insights. And the kicker for me there, it says is, and I'm going to quote it, if I can only get there. It says that their projections are going to override the council data. So whatever local council you are in, if your council was going to use, he says, the expert judgments in this analysis will replace council or ag research climate summaries because council's climate change metrics are not grounded in farm level data. So Don, you're the one who introduced me to that line that farmers go naked in public. Yep. Well, this is get rid of your wardrobe. You actually own nothing. All your data has been mined and you're going to be stalkers forevermore.
Yep. And so my issue around all of this, and so that's, again, we had a bit of news this last week that farm plans have been put on hold. The minister put them on hold. And Fed farmers came out and said, that's great, they're on hold, but we support farm plans. Sorry. Oh. Regulated farm plans, I do not support, will never support. It's the straitjacket with the noose added. Put your head through it. You are in it forever. And I can't believe feds are endorsing this, but, you know, it's 15 years since I left, so maybe the evolution of ideas has got away on me.
This is arguing within the allowed narrative. And seeing that this has come from ACT, and people will be fed up of me, I compare COVID to climate change. I don't agree with the basic premises underlying both of those hysterias. But that time, didn't we have ACT and Seymour all talking about, we agree the vaccines are great, we don't agree with the mandates. Here we agree that we need a farm plan, but we don't agree with this, with the current legislation.
Yeah.
Stop arguing within the allowed narrative. Yeah. Either you are a liberal in the truest dictionary sense of the word, or you're just one of those pretending, you know, one of the great pretenders.
Yeah, I can't stand the dollar each way, shades of grey stuff. I just can't stand it. I see things as black and white, and sadly politicians don't. And so going back though, if all the stuff had no regulation at the back of it, and it was done by myself, I got the LIDAR machine assessment on my farm and I did all this of my own volition and I used that information for myself, I'd be happy as a wee sandboy. The trouble is, this is the noose. This is the straitjacket that brand New Zealand has done to us. I hate brand New Zealand for what it's done to all of us in terms of
taken away the individuality.
That's a sad word to use, hate. I don't hate anything. I just dislike the fact that it was been brought into the national parlance. It's been used by everybody from kindergarten to grave.
I completely understand, Don. I hated the term team of 5 million. I know exactly where you're coming from.
So these were my warnings years ago about brand New Zealand. No one listened. And of course, we've had successive ministers of the Crown use it as their way to manipulate.
So listeners, if you're thinking why I'm doing Greenwash with Don Nicholson, there's your answer. This is a gentleman who's been doing this for decades and is still up for the fight. I am very
well. I sometimes think, with you, Don. I sometimes question my own logic on this stuff, but it's interesting. In the cold light of day, 15 years on, I am more resolute than ever of stuff that I was sort of a bit, you know, concerned that I wasn't on the right side of the ledger. You know, in my own principled brain 15 years ago, I am now more resolute because of the nonsense I see around us. And I'm so gutted with many of my rural, supposedly farm leaders and their weakness, how they will not stand up for the property rights of their individual. they've played the collective, basically the commie collective way. And I can't say, I really struggle with it, Jaspreet.
So grateful for your voice, John, and your experience there. Oh, anyway. It's time for us to get to another climate crazy one. And if you listen to us this morning, if you had time and you were, I'd say around the first interview in the show, we spoke to Alfred Lorick from Canada about the fact how farmland is being claimed in their area and substantial farmland. There's another article here now in the Climate Crazy from Canada. This is plant-based seafood, plant-based salmon. Of course, Canada, around some of the prime fishing areas of the world, must go look for plant-based salmon. And the funding for this has come, amongst others, from IKEA, the same IKEA which has planted pine trees galore in New Zealand, the blighted pine, and will now be having a massive showroom in Auckland, where I have no doubt everyone will be heading to get their cheap, sustainable furniture. Well, the same IKEA now decides plant-based salmon in Canada is the need of the hour. Can there be anything crazier than that? I mean, these companies, virtue signaling galore at their products, you know, everything zero carbon, traceable, neutral, the whole Scandi minimalist look to their stuff. I just can't bear it, Don. I have no patience for this nonsense.
I could say I've been to IKEA and a couple of places around the world, and I've decided to eat in their restaurants. And you had to question the food. I mean, it was some mincey type thing that I was having, like it was supposedly, I can't remember, was it a type of bollock? Look, I don't know, but it was minced meat, and it didn't taste anything like I've had in my life.
God, maybe it serves you right. Serves you right for eating an IKEA, Dawn.
Yeah, okay. I'm feeling absolutely told off here. But hey, there's another one here. I don't want to move on because you were clearly having a lot of fun. So yeah, I'll get out of there quick. But isn't it interesting? In the UK, in Norfolk, to build 1,400 new homes in an area, a farmer has been paid nearly £1 million to stop keeping livestock in the area. And it's a pig farm. And obviously the neighbours didn't want to have that reverse sensitivity thing going on. So they've bought him out, and he's been given, I think, nature permits. Is it nature permits to? He can still farm, just not pigs and any other animals. He's allowed to crop. He's allowed to do other stuff. But it's the first of this deal kind of deal that's been struck. And farmer James Daniels was paid almost that £1 million in environmental credits to stop pig farming. Look, maybe it's time for me to just, and the people at least my farm, to just cash up. Look, we'll just stop doing everything. Hyacinth, we'll just stop doing everything.
Well, these biodiversity credits are coming our way once the UN COP16 at Colombia is done in October.
Yeah.
Just watch there.
And of course, in Australia, they're having this big transformation as well. And Australia is a big place. We've got to be careful when you read this, that it's Australian government transforming private property and all that. Oh, that's a different one, sorry. But, you know, you hear about Australia, it's a big place, and, you know, areas of it are now being put into eucalyptus trees. I think they're called Eucalyptus globulus. That's the genus or the species. And it's going onto what appears to be lovely rolling country, even probably worse than in New Zealand, which has perhaps got some steeper country being planted in pines, as well as some lovely fertile lowlands. But these farms will have been fertilized for years. The trees will do fabulously well on them. And, you know, they didn't look at exhibit number one, New Zealand, did they? The Aussies are on board now too.
They can get some plant-based salmon from IKEA as well. But all IKEA, if we allow this to be done to ourselves, then we deserve all that's coming and more.
Was it plant-based mince I ate? I'm starting to wonder. Or was it pine tree mince? I'm just not sure.
Well, we don't have time for many more, but I'm going to push along with this one. In the Otago Daily Times on Sunday, 6th of September, this is a Friday, sorry, I'm getting my dates mixed up. The transport system killing thousands prematurely, Otago researcher says. And so this is University Associate Professor from Dunedin University, Carolyn Shaw, saying that just days after the government has halved the funding for walking and cycling, new research within days has revealed that prioritizing them would improve overall population health, save the health system money, and reduce health inequities between Maori and non-Maori, because obviously climate change is also disproportionately affecting us on the basis of ethnicity. In fact, considering I'm a brown migrant woman, God knows what it's doing to me, Dawn. And I have a couple of fuel guzzlers parked about 10 meters from me as I speak. But just look at these people talking about thousands of New Zealanders being prematurely killed due to transport fumes. Last year, I had spoken about the fact that they said Invercargill has the worst death rate due to transport. But here is these people. And no doubt this earnest-looking, bespectacled professor believes in what she is talking here.
Well, she's been paid to come up with something, and she has. You know, have we got the ability to analyze it ourselves just as quickly as reading this article? No. But it just, again, is
something that
I don't want to be funding these sorts of people in our universities. I want universities to go and do perhaps better stuff. Now, what is better stuff? Well, to me, it's around sciences and engineering. This is social engineering stuff that
She goes on the article, Dawn, talks about we have to have behavioral change to get people to drop cars and boost cycling. And second, technology change focused on electrifying vehicles. This is social engineering here.
No, of course. And you know, I suppose it's been going on for years. I've always struggled with some of the chosen courses and you know, what are they called at university, classes and subjects people take. I've struggled with them because I don't see how they add much value. But, you know, that's just me speaking as a lay farmer. But, you know, we've had many of these outfits embrace the nudge unit style of moving the dial, as they say, and I can't stand using that term either. And we learned the other day that, for instance, Fonterra, Meridian, Warehouse, and was it Main Freight, were used by the state, by the parliament under the former prime minister's regime to effectively model how the rollout of vaccines could be done in terms of the no jab, no job concept. So they used these four major players as the model nudge units, effectively. Nudges, I should say, to get this over the line. I found that totally obscene when I read that.
And then we had Susie Wells and the others that time talk on national television about how what we have done during the COVID campaign could also be used on climate and reducing emissions. And I was thinking then that you guys know where this is heading. But meanwhile, this professor perhaps should read a bit wider. Mm. Look at Tech Radar and other articles that tell you how the major car giants, including Ford, Hyundai, Volvo, and others, are doing a U-turn on their EVs. But that's
another day. For another day.
That's for another day.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.